If you're a military veteran, then you've got to check out ConnectingVets.com. It's full of the military news and lifestyle stories that bring vets closer. Closer to the things you care about, like benefits, employment, women's issues, and what's happening in the veteran community. It's things that affect your wallet and everything from happy hour to firepower. No matter what branch you were, we're the site that salutes you. ConnectingVets.com.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
What a time to be a Cubs fan.
The Score's Danny Mac on the Cubs.
We are so in the sweet spot of the golden era of Cubs baseball.
Cubs win the ball game.
I look forward to every broadcast. I'm not saying that because I work at the Cubs flagship. It is great to see what this organization has evolved to, and bring it on.
And this is where you hear Pat and Ron call every game. We are the official radio home of the Cubs. Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
This hour is brought to you by MegaPros. Repair, remodel, renovate. MegaPros.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Davis in the backfield now in motion is Lockett. Straight ahead, handoff to Davis. Bounces outside right. Down to the 10, down to the 5. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks. A 17-yard touchdown scamper by Mike Davis.
He's a very talented running back. We saw that on tape. We feel like, and we've been telling you this, we feel very fortunate that he came here as a free agent. He can do a lot of different things. He can protect. He has great vision in between the tackles, yet you can put him out wide and do some things. So people know we do that, and he just needs to learn the intricacies of this offense, the details. And once he does that, we feel like at that position between those guys we have, we're in a pretty good spot.
Middays on the Score.
That's Matt Nagy talking about their free agent running back acquisition, who is in that group we discussed with Hub. They need to figure out who is going to play and when and how, and it may mean some meaningful preseason time to get it sorted out.
I find myself needing a reminder that this running game needs the fixing everyone was screaming about it needing when Jordan Howard was just being tripped over by slaps to the ankle and just a body in front of him here or there, and he'd fall over and roll down, and you think, well, shoot, that could have been another 45 yards or so. Would have been nice to have somebody with some speed, a little burst, some agility, something like that.
Mike Davis expected to join us shortly here at Bourbon A on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. There is a word that Matt Nagy uses when talking about running backs, and it's a pet attribute to him. And by the way, thanks to the texter who pointed out when we were reading that D&D card of Florida Man, it sounded like, who's your guy?
Yeah.
it sounded like we were doing the scouting report on him, which is essentially, that's what it is. That's what those entries in the Monster Manual are.
Yes, it is.
We should slip some in next year when we do it, or this year when we do it. Well, he always talks, Nagy does, about vision. Vision, vision, vision. I heard him answering a question about David Montgomery the other day, and he kept talking about Montgomery's vision.
Mm-hmm.
It means so much to him. Obviously, speed is great, but when a coach says a running back has vision, that means the coach can trust that the way a play is designed, when something opens up, he knows in his head. You know how offensive play callers are. They're crazy people. They have to have it just right, and they know how it looks in their head. It has to look the same way to the running back. Too many times, you would see Jordan Howard get going first gear, second gear, and heading in a direction, and then you see something maybe on the backside, go, ooh, right there, right there, right there. I get that Nagy was doing that with Jordan Howard. Nagy was doing that. They watch film like there. That's when you go make the cut. This is how an entire side of the field can open up to you.
He had maybe one run all season long that I remember thinking, oh, that looks like how Nagy wanted to get things loose. Remember, this is that. I think it was a 60-something yard run against the Vikings, and it's Harrison Smith who brings him down, and he gets so loose and so wide open in the field that Smith even misses him because he thought he was going to be faster. He thought Jordan Howard was going to be faster.
Yeah, he threw him a changeup. He took the wrong
Jordan
angle
Howard
because it's the equivalent of a changeup.
Because he just wasn't running as fast as Harrison Smith expected he would, and he got another 10 yards, 15 yards downfield on that run because of it. I find Davis to be a really interesting piece of this offense in terms of the kinds of versatility that Matt Nagy is going to ask out of the running backs in this system. Not only is it Davis, but it's David Montgomery and it's Tariq Cohen. And you could go down the list, too, with how many positions each guy may end up playing. The work at wide receiver that guys might do, the work out of the tailback position that they might do. Speaking of, Mike Davis is kind enough to join us here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Fresh from practice, a walkthrough today, but it looks hot. Mike, how you doing?
A walkthrough.
That's what Hub told us. That's what Hub told us. Was it not a walkthrough today?
No, that's not a walkthrough. But it is hot. I give you that. It is a little bit hot.
How's the process for you adjusting to this new offense? There's a lot to know. There's a lot of responsibilities.
It's pretty fun, honestly. I think anybody coming in trying to learn something new, it's pretty fun actually learning Nagy's his offense and knowing that you can't just learn just one position. I think that's pretty fun.
So which positions do you learn?
All of them.
What, you're not learning left tackle?
No. As far from a skill set point, like, I can't just learn just running back. I have to know receiver routes and concepts as well.
In what ways can you lean on Tariq Cohen and his experience in that offense, knowing he played as many roles as you likely will?
Can lean on him a lot. He knows the offense. He was in it last year. He tells me the in and outs and what I need to know, what I don't need to look for, and things that help you remember plays.
Take us through the process through which the Bears pitched you on this, because there were several teams that had an idea that you were perhaps underused, had a possibility to be more in another offense. And why'd you pick the Bears?
I picked the Bears, man, because I knew a couple players on the team, and Benny, I reached out to Benny, asked him about the Bears. He was just saying, like, this is an offense that I would love to be in. It's player-friendly. The coach there is great. And he was preaching on about, like, how good the team is. And, you know, of course, you watch the Bears throughout the season, and you've seen basically how much fun they had. And I was like, I want to be a part of that. Like, I want to go have some fun and win. And like, you look at the defense, the number one defense, and out here going against them every day, you can tell that they're the number one defense.
We were talking with Hub Arkish, who covers the Bears for literally every outlet you can possibly find, and he mentioned just how hard it has been for this offense at times to get things moving because of how good this defense is. Are they even better than you thought they'd be?
Yeah. It's just like every position is loaded, and like Raquan, man, he's fast and he can hit. Danny is legit running in this training camp. You got Akeem who's wrecking havoc. You got Flo who's doing this thing. You got Mac, Bojack, you know what I mean? And you know, Buster is out there making one hand interceptions, and it's like, it's a reason they're the number one, you know, defense. And then you come out and then you look at our offense, and then we have weapons as well. But, I mean, it's a learning experience for us. We're getting better every day. And, you know, we go out here and we see this stuff, and it's fun. And we know what kind of defense we're going against. So we know that by them doing the things that they do, it's making us better.
How are they going to sort out playing time without having to play you guys and expose you to injury potentially in exhibition games, which I know he doesn't like to do. Matt Nagy doesn't like using material players in exhibition games. But he may have no choice as you guys figure out what the roles are, right?
Oh, I have no idea. So I mean, even if I did, no, I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell you guys that anyway.
Do you want 20 carries in a preseason game?
Preseason?
Sure.
No.
I can't blame you for that. Why would you want it? I can't blame you for that.
No, it's not like that. But preseason is preseason, man. But, I mean, I want to play in the preseason. I think it's fun. Honestly, it's fun going against anybody besides our defense.
Well, where do you need – I get that. Where do you need more looks? Like, as you get into this offense in your first year, you and David Montgomery both, though obviously he's a rookie and you're not, where do you need more opportunities, more reps at in this offense particularly?
I don't know what I can tell you about, like, as far as reps with me, because this is my fifth year going into the league.
Sure.
So I know, like, the ins and outs. I know the playbook. I know things I need to look for. So getting reps with me is not the, you know, like, a big concern.
We've heard Matt Nagy praise your vision. And I always wonder how the on-field translates to the film room and the work and then back. If you see something on the field, can you see yourself seeing the same thing on film? Or if there's something you realize you missed and your positional coach says, you know what, there was a lane here, your head's not turned. How does one go from the film room to the field and make that kind of learning practical?
Okay, so, you know, you got here and sometimes it's things happen that you don't expect. So never make the same mistake twice. Don't be out here afraid to make mistakes. But, I mean, once you make that one mistake and you see it again, it's just like, okay, I know I better hit this hole. I know I better get outside. And it's like you watch film over and over again, and it gets repetitive. And, you like, once you see it, you're like, okay, I know what's coming. I see this guy. You study guys, you see he's on his toes. Okay, all right, I know he's blitzing. And then stuff like that, then you look for other keys.
When you were talking with the Bears about coming here, what kind of reputation did you understand Mitch Trubisky to have, and how has that measured up, or how has that been different since coming here and getting it on?
Mitch's becoming more of a leader in offense. He's commanding things. Even when I signed, I made sure I went out and worked out with him in L.A. So, he's everything is advertised, man. He's a great guy.
I've been around all kinds of running backs, low these many decades, and when it comes to blocking, I've seen three types. I've seen a running back who can't stand blocking and can get away with just the bare minimum of selling the fact that he's trying to block. I have seen a running back who can't stand blocking but is professional enough to do a credible job and being responsible. And then I've seen a running back who can't wait to knock some punk on his ass. Which are you?
The last one.
Okay, good answer. You like blocking.
Yeah, I love blocking. I mean, it's just something you got to be able to do. Like, I praise myself. I want to be able to do everything. You know, that's why I'm here. I want to be able to run the ball. I want to be able to catch the ball. I want to be able to line up at receiver. I want to be able to be everywhere to where we can't be one-dimensional.
What have you been able to show the Bears that even they didn't know they were getting once you got here? What do you feel like you were able to put on display once you got here that surprised them most?
My hands, I would say, catching. And being able to run receiver routes. That's probably it. Other than that, I think they expect a lot from me. They expect a lot from everybody. But probably catching.
What's your best Steve Spurrier story?
Oh, man. There's so many.
What's your favorite one that best tells people sort of the essence of that guy?
I mean, it's a lot to tell you what kind of person Steve Spurrier is, but I'm gonna keep it low. Uh-huh. One day it was really, really hot, and it was like really, really hot, and he came out there with his shirt off and shoes
holding
off,
a pitching wedge
with the visor. Shirt off, shoes off, just out there, just having a blast, sweating, and it's like, what are you doing,
Coach? That's great. I always tell the story. He was the coach at Duke when I was a student there. You know, he was first getting started with, you know, testing out his new offense and stuff. And he had a bunch of student journalists in his office. And he offered everybody a beer.
Yeah.
He had a little fridge behind his desk. And I was like, look, I'm a freshman. I can't drink. Hey, take a beer. Open these beers. I got an opener. Open these beers for these kids in here.
Yeah, after every game, he most definitely had a beer in his hand.
When you look at this offense and you look at the skill sets of the players around you, and you've mentioned being able to play as many positions as you can, do you guys as skilled players even even look at touches necessarily, or is it just opportunities? I got to imagine that at some points, you know, there's going to be a game where you or Robinson or Gabriel, they're not like featured necessarily in the game plan, but you have to know that you can be explosive and meaningful because there are so many weapons to get the ball to on a given day.
I would say you have a team full of guys that's not selfish. So we don't look for touches. We don't care about touches. We care about wins, and we care about each other as a team. So if anyone's going off in the game, we're rooting for that guy. You know what I'm saying, to keep going. We don't care about touches.
You mentioned that you can use Tariq Cohen as a resource. What other early on in camp here? What other relationships are you developing professionally or personally? Guys that you're getting to know and hanging out with.
The receivers, CP. I hang out with CP a lot. Marvin, even the guys on defense, both Jack, Leo, Mac, it's a blessing to be here. And at the same time, it's like shocking. Like, I'm really out here practicing against Khalil Mack.
Yeah, he's pretty good, isn't he?
Pretty good. He's more than pretty good. He's wrecking havoc.
How so? Just knocking his guy over and getting in the backfield, around people, through people, all of it?
All of it, man. He can do it all. That's the thing about it. Khalil Mack can drop in coverage, man.
I don't want him dropping in coverage.
I'm just saying
I want him jumping up and down on the quarterback's head repeatedly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite sure Khalil Mack is going to get a strip sack every game. Like, when I was in Seattle, we put three people on him. He still got a strip sack. So it's just like, what can you do?
You mentioned CP, Cordarrelle Patterson, right? Yep. Bears fans are very excited to see how he's worked into the offense. Is there anything, without getting in trouble with Matt Nagy, is there anything you can let Bears fans know about how or what to expect from CP once he hits the field running?
An electrifying receiver. Like, I can't tell you schemes or whatever.
Of course.
But you can.
Nah, I can't. But with CP, man, I'm telling you, CP is he's big and fast. I mean, he's a receiver I would not want. If I'm a DB, I don't want to tackle him.
Mike, we appreciate you taking the time to let you go cool off and get yourself something to eat.
Oh, man, thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Mike Davis of the Chicago Bears, a name that you're going to hear a lot as a skill position acquiree. Fun stuff.
Khalil Mack is a dude, man. That's what's going on. That's what I learned from Mike Davis in practice.
Today. I know.
He is absolutely crushing people.
Yeah, I've also learned to not spend too much time asking other players about Khalil Mack, particularly defensive players. We could probably end up, you could do a whole compilation of other NFL players, like professional athletes going like, yeah, that dude, my God, that guy. It's like the way Urlacher used to talk about Julius Peppers.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the greatest athletes he's ever seen.
Best football player I've ever seen. I said, what? He goes, Peppers?
That's it.
Best football player I've ever seen. Like, really? He goes, yeah. I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? No. Okay, fine. And that's a Hall of Famer saying that. So that's the kind of stuff we're collecting. We are Bernstein and McKnight. What do you think of that? 312-644-6767. I want to get your feedback as well. We're live in Bourbon A talking Bears on the Score.
For all station contest rules, go to 670thescore.com/rules.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Wrangler Performance Series, denim that's made to move with you. Try on a pair today. If you watch golf on TV this week, you'll be reminded constantly that the so-called playoffs will begin next week. What you won't hear is that all the playoffs will decide is how golf's millionaires divide up about $35 million in 3 weeks. Everything that's really important in golf has already been decided for 2019. The four major champions and the player of the year. That award will go to Brooks Koepka for a second straight year, regardless of what happens in the so-called playoffs. Koepka's won three times this year, including one of the majors, the PGA. His other three major finishes, tied for second, and, gasp, tied for fourth, along with the two other wins that make him the clear-cut number one. The Masters, which matters, starts in 254 days. I'm John Feinstein.
Knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install doors, water treatment systems, cabinet makeovers, nearly any home improvement project. Visit homedepot.com/services and go from to-do to done with licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, For license information, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
The National Sports Collectors Convention, the world's largest sports and entertainment collectible show, is returning to the Stevens Convention Center July 31st through August 4th with 650 exhibitors and over 100 superstar athletes, including Dick Butkus, Dr. J, Pete Rose, Chris Chelios, Jim Thome, Greg Maddux, Hulk Hogan, Mariano Rivera, and many more. Open to the public. Children 12 and under get in free all week. A great time for the entire family. Visit nsccshow.com for more info. That's nsccshow.com.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Click for more.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
It all starts with just one thing. During summer, be sure to use dishwashers and stoves in the evening to minimize the effects of heat and save on electricity costs. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Jed Hoyer, you have to be monitoring the noise, but how do you live with it? It just seems like there is this weird panic or fear and loathing that you got to kind of get through sometimes in the course of a season.
Yeah, no question. It's difficult. There's no perfect way to do it. You know, you try to think about dividing up the season into maybe 10-game chunks or 20-game chunks so you don't get too high or too low on individual games, but we all know that can be difficult. And I think that's one of the real skills in this game, and one that we know we're never going to master, but we try to get better at it, is realizing that, this is a sport where the best teams win 6 out of 10 times. This is not football. It's not the NBA. You're not going to dominate your opponents.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Ryan Pacey, of course, the general manager of the Chicago Bears.
How difficult was that, replacing a guy as respected as Vic? And how tricky will the transition be? Because Chuck Pagano, as respected as he is, he's not the old guy. He's not the other guy. And there's going to be maybe a little bit of period there of adjustment.
For us, David, I feel like, honestly, so far it's gone pretty smooth. And Chuck's experienced, and I think there's a blend of him doing what he wants to do, but also doing what he knows our players are best at in their roles. And so far it's been smooth. Their offseason's been good with it. And, we got a lot of young talent on that side of the ball. And what's exciting about it is they're just going to grow together and continue to get better. So you talk about Roquan and Eddie Jackson and Khalil Mack, and it's neat to see these guys develop before our eyes.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Now everybody's here. It's a party now. Boy, Lawrence is here and Parkins is here. There's our old buddy Hogue, and Fishbane walked by, and yeah, we're just getting a little taste of all the Chicago's...
Mario Machado?
Mario Machado, yes, he is. Also Jose here. Altuve. Nice to see Hogue. A little Daily Cardinal reunion there. Nice to... Always good to see the guy.
You know, it's interesting when you stand next to someone who is your height but weighs 50 pounds more than you do and isn't fat, what that looks like. He and I mean, Mike Davis and I are about the same height, and I'm 163.
Mm-hmm.
He's 210.
Wiki has him at 217.
217, okay.
Pro football, let me see what the pro...
Just the NFL players are large individuals with muscular frames.
Oh, is that right?
That is a powerfully built young man.
Pro Football Reference has him at 217 as well, so that's got to be his official listing somewhere. That dude is, he's a big, big guy.
See, I want to get the good Steve Spurrier stories, too. That's what I want. I mean, I've heard, I think it was Matt Bowen who told us about some of the stuff of being shirtless and without shoes on the practice field. That's just a habit of his. That's just what he does.
Yelling and screaming at about a tee time that he's got, and so that practice has to wrap up just in time. I really am interested in how Mike Davis takes shape in this offense and exactly how much around him things are going to be focused. Because, you know, we asked him, you know, do you want 20 carries in preseason? Do you need reps on anything? They're not concerned about touches. They're not concerned about workload. And he seems, you know, you asked him, too, how much Matt Nagy is kind of leaning on him. He's getting leaned on a lot, it kind of sounded like. I mean, Mike mentioned how much the expectations are there, it seemed, and then kind of spread it out with their expectations on everybody. But I think he expects to be, you know, kind of a focal point here. I wouldn't be surprised to see him starting.
What I think is really cool, too, is how he explained that Bears running backs also have to know the full wide receiver route tree.
Sure.
From either one of the wide receiver positions, any one of the three, when you're talking X or Z or slot. It's split end, flanker, slot. Or the flanker can sometimes be swapped out for the slot in the way they diagram some stuff. But it's one thing to just have a small group of plays in case you are split out. It's another thing to have to know it as if you are a regular wide receiver. That's voluminous. That's a lot. That's a lot of splits, a lot of adjustments, a lot of knowing your exact distances from other guys and making sure that's right down to the proper step.
Yeah, it really is. And for that reason, you're pretty thankful that Tariq Cohen was deployed in as many spots as he was last season, because he's a guy who's been there and done it. And granted, his skill set's a little bit different from Davis and Montgomery in terms of his speed and size combination. But to have had that guy there who's been in those situations and in those play calls, that can only help the running back room. I just wonder how much, you know, because Nagy is pretty much infamous now for saying that this is not an offense in which a guy gets even 18 carries in a game. You know, this just isn't an offense that lathers somebody up, that gets somebody going, like everybody wanted Jordan Howard to get going last season. It doesn't exist like that. So to get a collection of running backs that can all kind of shine in their, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 carries apiece, or however the run balance ends up working out, or adding in, or I really should say, and adding in some of the short passes and things that this offense views essentially as runs, to have each guy as dangerous as the next seems crucial, and that's kind of what they've assembled here.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, your Western Conference champion. Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th, for group and season tickets. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. You know, I had some stuff here from Scott in Davenport in the wake of what Joe Sheehan was talking about and the stat that I gave you. If you're just joining us and we're looking at what is happening or not happening,
nothing is happening
as we head toward baseball's trade deadline tomorrow. Nothing's going on. And one of Joe's points was that the value of pitching, especially starting pitching, has really changed. We look at everything very, very differently. And I was texting back and forth with a baseball guy, and I did not know that I always used to give the stat, the 70% correlation between a quality start and a win. And a quality start is a pitcher goes 6 or more innings and gives up 3 or fewer earned runs.
Yeah, that's right? Subjective, Dan.
Right, that's the Les Grobstein subjectivity of the
that
quality
is my,
start.
That is
the
my
Adam
all,
Harris argument. That's
my
great.
All-time favorite Les Grobstein argument is when he and Adam Harris went back and forth about the subjectivity of quality start.
Yeah, it's the pause when Adam's like, no.
No,
it's literally
losing his damn mind.
Right, it's a very specific
all
arrangement
time
and thresholds of statistics. But there's a 70% correlation, used to be. And I don't even know what it is now because there are no quality starts. Now, if your pitcher goes 6, just goes 6. Mm-hmm. Forget the runs component at all. If your pitcher goes 6 innings, you have a 64% chance of winning the game.
It's unbelievable. It's mind-blowing.
That's where we are.
It's a different game, and it's a different game in a lot of reasons. It's the ball, it's the swing that players have molded, but mostly it's a different game because of how front offices have used the arms they have. They're not starting pitchers as much as they are just 4-inning and 5-inning relievers. I mean, there aren't. You go ahead and name for me, and you can. I mean, there's 25, 30 real starting pitchers, horses, that are out there in this game. The rest just aren't. The rest are Tanner Roark, and apparently the asking price from the Reds on Tanner Roark is as pricey as trying to move Justin Verlander was just a couple of years ago, or as pricey perhaps as the Mets are trying to put on a tag on Noah Syndergaard. It's insane. One of the things that's been going around because of the inactivity around this deadline is the idea that's getting floated, and apparently it's going to be talked about this offseason. Major League Baseball general managers are more and more in favor of moving the deadline back to August 15th or something like that, giving another 2 weeks or so. I've told you before, Dan, that my brother's a teacher, right? Mm-hmm. So in learning how to teach, he's had to learn some things about, you know, the how of teaching. And one of the things that he told me about that he learned when he was doing his master's is this kind of principle that a human being, and especially a student like this, when given a certain amount of time to complete a task, that task will almost always take the amount of time you give yourself. So if you're like, all right, I got to clean the house in 3 days, it'll take you 3 days to do it. Mm-hmm. Unless there are like severe bounds on the task at hand, it's going to take you however much time you give yourself to do it. If they move this deadline to August 15th, it's not going to make more buyers or sellers. It's not going to make these moves happen. It's not going to make Noah Syndergaard get traded. It's not going to make blockbusters happen more often. It will just be the same thing. Major League Baseball general managers are risk averse. They don't want to take chances. They don't want to give up their own prospects because of how cheap they are relative to the rest of Major League Baseball. They will do the same thing for another 2.5 weeks. There will not be any much more separation between teams. It's just an idea that gives them more CYA time. That's all that is. If anything, you should alter it and go the other way. If you want to force action. Don't allow them to just sit on their hands longer.
Well, moving the clock also gets back to your earlier point about the longer you have a guy, the more value he has for you. And if you make it a couple of weeks later, that's a couple of weeks less value of the season that you're getting. There's a finite number of games, and if you're going to make one of these moves, it almost gets to the point where you say, well, why should I bother now?
Well, and that's the thing. So if you're the Mets, right, and I'm sorry to do this to you, but let's in this hypothetical.
I want to be the Mets.
Well, for a minute, you got to be Birdie Van Wagenen, and you're going to trade me Noah Syndergaard.
I'm now, wealthy, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Not even a little bit. Really happy about the contract we got at Robbie Cano, though. So if you're going to deal me Noah Syndergaard, your argument is, I have Noah Syndergaard and you don't. And there aren't a lot of Noah Syndergaards on the trade market. Sure, there was Marcus Stroman, but I just picked him up. You know, but he's not Noah Syndergaard. I got a chance to sell you Noah Syndergaard. Now, if you do that now, or if you do it 2 weeks from now, are you going to budge that much on the fact that you've got Noah Syndergaard and no one else does? Is your asking price really going to change that much?
No, because you have to.
No.
Here's the other thing. The other aspect of it being, if they make it later, all that does is give more teams time to realize they're not really contending.
Yes, sir.
The earlier you do it, the more teams you can sort of allow them to convince themselves, hey, we got a shot. We're right in this thing, because they haven't had their inevitable downturn yet.
You know, you're right. And I liked the idea of going to one trade deadline coming into this season and eliminating waivers, or at least trades that are eligible to be put onto the postseason roster, or additions that are able to be made.
And we have a Corey Wooten jersey.
Oh, thank God. Oh, good. Glad we spot. Although, when you think about it, we'll get back to the trade on a second. When you think about it, Dan, this first trip to Bourbonnais, we saw two non-current Bear jerseys.
Ditka?
Three. I saw Cedric Benson.
Okay.
I don't know why. And then we saw the Corey Wooten.
I think it's an autographed Corey Wooten jersey. But anyway, we digress.
So this idea, then, that you've eliminated these waiver trades now strips an asset away from general managers who want to make moves. This idea that you can, because it's waivers, pay a lower price for the guy you wanted anyway, that fostered moves earlier in the system, in the season. And it's just, We're just stuck now in a fear-based economy that just lets baseball be completely joyless and gives us a broadcast on Sunday nights that is taking any fun out of the game whatsoever.
All right, let's have some fun right here, and thanks to Scott Lindholm for this information. But he's got a couple of graphs here, and I'm going to ask you this question. I'll just tell you first, in the year 1910, the average innings per start, I should say 1908, the average innings per start was about 7.7.
It's 12.
You really didn't have relief pitchers. Then in 1947, 6.5, and it sort of stayed right around that line up until about 1980, when we saw the rise of the bullpen.
Yep.
Dropped off a little bit. Where do you think we are right now? Starting at that high watermark in 1908. Of 7.7 innings pitch per start, per game, all of MLB,
Where are we now?
I bet that we're still in the five-inning territory, but not by a 5.6.
5.3.
Wow.
5 1/3. Nicely done, Connor. But if you look at where we are in the graph between 2015 and 2020, it is a nosedive with no sign of stopping, apparently. We are at an all-time, by a mile, all-time low of number of innings.
You know, the same graph would be skewed some if you put postseason starts on there, just because the nature of the postseason, what we've done. But it would also be somewhat meaningful because of just how drastic these changes have been over the last few years in terms of teams just going to the bullpen and having Andrew Miller, all these kinds of things we've seen. I'd like to see that graph as well, not necessarily to say this is how things have gone, but more as just kind of a barometer for trade prices for these guys, because like you say...
Well, that was the context of this.
14 Nick, innings.
Here's another question. I'm going to keep quizzing you here when we mention quality start. The percentage of games overall, games played that include a quality start. This goes back to 1908, okay, when it was right around 60%, and then up closer to the high 60s in the 1920s, dropping down, settling around 50, and there's some more movement in this graph. You wouldn't be surprised to know that in 1968, they were back above 60%.
Shocker.
And that caused them to then lower the mound, and you saw a dip in the curve, but then some recovery in that, back up to 60% in 1972, and then it was always around 50%, and similarly... What number, what total number of games now feature a quality start?
It's like 42.
37.5, which is an all-time low and dropping precipitously.
Wow.
We've got to really change the way. A flashing light and a blaring klaxon to alert you, the baseball fan, to change how you think about pitching.
It's really tough to add bullpen help when everyone wants bullpen help.
Because everything's a bullpen. Everything's a bullpen.
Wow. That's incredible
now. And it used to be that your bullpen was your pitchers who weren't good enough to be starters. And that's just changed now. That's not the way it is anymore. The development is different. The understanding of pitch design is different. Knowing that somebody's stuff can play once through an order or only to lefties because of how the ball comes out of his hand, it's all different. We are in a completely new baseball world, and it informs so many of these things that are happening, whether it's free agents not signing, trades not being made, teams differing wildly in the value of some of these pitchers. It's not going to take long for starting pitching to simply not exist at all in the way we once knew it.
Yeah, not much shaking on the trade market either. There are some rumors out there, and most of them around relievers, like you say, the Mets.
Let's get to them in just a bit.
May be interested in some things. The Reds, too, and Cubs fans will be interested in some of these names, even if it's a bit of a pipe dream. Bernstein and McKnight with the latest on the deadline. Coming up, 670 The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
Looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home? Then you need to call Team Hochberg. How'd you like to win a free rent payment like Katie Salerno did? Katie of Arlington Heights won. You can too. You need to enter Team Hochberg's free rent payment sweepstakes. If you rent in Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, or Iowa, Team Hochberg wants to pay your rent. I'm not kidding. Team Hochberg wants to pay your rent. Entry's free. But you can't win Team Hochberg's free rent payment sweepstakes like Katie Salerno did if you don't register at 56DavidWinRent.com. What are you waiting for? Register to win a free rent payment at 56DavidWinRent.com. If you want to work with a lender who will always look out for your financial best interest, like paying your next rent payment, call Team Hochberg now at 855-56-DAVID or visit 56David.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help or pay your rent if you don't register at 56DavidWinRent.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
Combining home and auto with State Farm gets you great coverage for less. Combining 90s R&B with State Farm radio ads gets you this jam covered for free. Home and auto, let's do it. Combine it, my policy. For more coverage, visit statefarm.com. Combine it.
And done. It took all night, but your report is finished just in time for class. What's that? No ink? Not if you had a Canon MegaTank printer. Their ink cartridges can print 6,000 black pages and 7,700 color pages. Visit Amazon or Canon.us/MegaTank.
Knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install doors, water treatment systems, cabinet makeovers, nearly any home improvement project. Visit homedepot.com/services and go from to-do to done with licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. More safe, more do it. For license information, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
This week, find great deals at Walgreens. Now, select varieties of Tide laundry detergent and Dawn dish soap are only $4.99 with card. And select varieties of Scott paper towel and bath tissues are only $3.25 with coupon and card. Get great deals on the everyday essentials you need right here at your neighborhood Walgreens. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. While supplies last, restrictions and exclusions apply. See store for details.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Capital One presents a 30-second audio tour of Ireland. Sheep, fairies, golf, charming castle.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, you can actually go there when you use the Capital One Venture Card. You earn unlimited double miles on every dollar you spend on every purchase, which means you'll have plenty of miles to actually travel to Ireland. The Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USA NA.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Interesting stuff from the Revivalists and members of the Revivalists. That was, I guess they do. They're really, really charitably.
Is that right?
Apparently, yeah. Cool. New Orleans rock group, frequent XRT band. That's the really good song, I Wish I Knew You When I Was Young. I don't know if you heard it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that
one. So good.
Okay.
Really kind of vibey. It's really good stuff.
All right. Got a little bit of news and notes from the Major League trade deadline as, you know, nothing happens. Reports out that Edwin Diaz is being asked after by a number of different Major League teams, like the Dodgers, the Rays, the Braves, and the Padres, and not a lot worried about Diaz's usage because the team that, now check this, Dan, the team that trades for Edwin Diaz will not have to take Mickey Callaway as manager. So they're not actually, thank teams God. That would trade for him aren't actually worried about his usage as a New York Met. So that's a plus. Rossell Iglesias apparently having some people knock on the door. Shane Green obviously there too. The Braves seemingly very active in trying to add some pitching here. No word, no sniff yet of a new Cubs rumor. Kind of the same old, but rest assured, as soon as we find out anything, you're going to hear it either on the Lawrence Holmes Show or on Mac and Parkins, too, because this deadline, it's coming, whether GMs know it or not. Somebody's going to have to make moves to improve a roster, and somebody's going to have to pay a hefty price to do it.
No, Mac and Parkins are too busy trading Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, and everybody else who could have them yesterday.
Maybe you get Edwin Diaz for that. I don't know. It could be Brody Van Wagenen's asking for a little bit more than just Baez and Bryant for Edwin Diaz.
I was having so much fun listening yesterday, as I always do. It was just like so sports radio-y. It's like, all right, let's just get them all out of Dodge.
Hot takes where you flip the E and the K, man.
It was fun. Shep's weighing in. Everybody's going at it. It kept me very, very entertained. We have a lot of thank yous today.
We do.
We want to thank our engineer, Rich Wyatt. We thank Brian Gertz, who had the video feed. Jay Zawoski, our producer. Shane Reardon, who has been patrolling in his golf cart.
He's far too comfortable in that cart.
I know.
He's got a real Cartman vibe going on.
No,
over
he's
there.
He's got the vibe of
so
a,
many
of
problems.
A bad cop. That's what he's
got. Cartman. He's got a Cartman thing going on.
He has to go around and annoy bears.
He looks like the cop that just can't wait to shoot you.
Respect my authority.
So we also thank Bears PR for having Mike Davis come over here. We thank Mike Davis. We thank Joe Sheehan. We thank Hub. Mm-hmm. We thank Rick. We thank Ray. We thank Gertch.
Yes.
Is that enough?
Yeah, well done.
Have we done that?
We've got Lawrence Holmes coming up. Transitions on the way. 670 The Score.
Listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score.
In high traffic areas, professional painters need a paint that'll last. So do their clients, like PPG Timeless Paint, in 5-gallon buckets from just $159. Now at the Home Depot, with fast one coat coverage and the toughest, most wear resistant finish to prevent future scuffs, stains, and you having to come back to fix them. Tough, high-quality PPG Timeless paint. Exclusively at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
You're listening to The Score through the power of Radio.com Sports.
Radio.com Sports. Stream The Score in all of your favorite sports stations. And it's so easy to download.
Keep listening for the best experts in sports. Tons of original sports content. Podcast Score and all your favorite sports stations.
Radio.com Sports. It's easy and it's free.
This is Radio.com Sports.
Direct from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, louder than words, rock, power, and politics. Featuring over 175 artifacts from Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, Stevie Wonder, Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, and more. Now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, 360 North State Street in Chicago. Red or blue, we all bleed rock and roll. For info and tickets, visit museum.tv.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to Lawrence Holmes at his new time, weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Lawrence was live with Jason Hayward and Kyle Schwarber.
Kyle, what about you? What calms you?
You know, I would agree with the breathing. But I think breathing is obviously the biggest thing that any person can do in a stressful situation, to be able to take that deep breath and just close your eyes and get back to the level. You know, besides having the anxiety and the anger or whatever it is rising up, you know, like if you get screwed by a call, you're in a 2-1 count, the next thing you know, you're in a 2-2 count and you're upset. You know, you got to be able to let it out. If you want to yell, take that deep breath, be able to get back in the box and not have that affect you is the key.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. Soon you'll have a separate fridge in the basement, where extra groceries are exiled forever. Remember that frozen lasagna? Of course you don't. It's been down there since 2008. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Piece of cake. Behind the lasagna. It's very old. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Devil Dog, Squid, Zoomy, Coasty, Grunt. Military veterans have a lot of terms for each other. And now there's a place that reports the news and delivers stories in words vets understand. ConnectingVets.com. It's military news and issues that affect your wallet. It's women's issues and vets who are raising the bar and accomplishing the impossible. Whether you're an operator, a pogue, a fobbit, or an Airedale, the place that speaks your language is ConnectingVets.com.
Show Transition, the raw show interaction you've come to love on The Score. It starts at 9 a.m. between Mully and Haw and Bernstein and McKnight.
So you're always in the kitchen.
Like doing a show.
It's amazing you're not 300 pounds.
Is that why you're dressed like that?
What?
Shorts and white socks?
I'm always dressed like this. Oh, that doesn't change. I don't. I've been dressed like this for 20 years.
Then at noon between Bernstein and McKnight and The Lawrence Holmes Show.
So who's there and who's helping him? And maybe it's just David Ross. Maybe it's just Rossi goes down there with a catcher's mitt and works him out.
You could do worse.
No, there's no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're joking, but that wouldn't bother me at all.
No.
And at 2, when Lawrence hands things over to Mack and Parkins.
Sipping the Kool-Aid.
Bears.
100-year anniversary.
I didn't think it would reach me. And then I saw some of the stuff, and I was like, this seems like pretty cool.
And right before 6, when Mack and Parkins hand things over to Joe O. Don't miss Show Transition on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We're really fired up about tomorrow.
We were fired up about today. We're fired up about Thursday when we are going to be back here. We've got a day off from Bourbonnais tomorrow where we're going to be back in the culinary studios. But it's an all-day Score broadcast here. Everybody's here, including this man, Lawrence Holmes, who's up next.
What's Guys, up, Lawrence? We're so fired up, man. I tell you, every day I walk out here.
It's really exciting for me.
Yeah, Matt is just great. Everything's fantastic.
So did you...
Well, he's finally right.
He is right.
It took him a while.
He's
100%
right.
He spent enough money and drafted enough guys that now he's right.
How much of... and you only had to go through Kevin White to get there. How much of practice did you get to watch?
I watched a lot. I think I watched all of it. As
okay.
I was also like all catching
of it, Nazarene.
Up.
Nice.
I was catching up with all the reporter people and stuff. Like, I was doing a little bit of that. Because, you know, I'm not here all the time anymore, and I used to be. So I was catching up. It was good to talk with people and kind of get their perspective of what this camp is and what expectations actually are. I like being able to talk with the people that are on the ground covering the team to just kind of...
Shaheen.
Dude, it's not even August.
It's just become my punching bag. It's totally not
I
fair.
I mean,
it's
a large punching bag.
Yes. Well, it's not fair. I should stop. You're right. Now I feel bad. Now I don't.
So that's what I did.
That'll go away.
I just hung out there. What have you two idiots been doing?
I don't know.
Mostly this.
That's fine. That sounds good. Are we for the July 31st all-in trade deadline?
No, not anymore.
I don't think it matters.
No.
And we were debating that before about is the wherever you put it, it's not going to change valuations. It may change what teams think about their own chances.
It's what it is this. Wherever you put the major league trade deadline, GMs are not going to act differently until players age 1 through 6, I'm talking their 1 through 6 years of service time, are paid commensurate with their contributions to a team. That's the reason people aren't moving anything. Look no further. That is the purpose. You have to, in baseball right now, you have to keep the Pete Alonso. You have to keep your Ronald Acuna. You have to keep Fernando Tatis Jr. I said it. It hurts. But you have to keep those guys, and you can't give them up for overpaid talent.
How dare you?
Listen, it is what it is, man. And this is the reason you don't have trades going on. This is the reason you have GMs hoarding things. And this is the reason, I have no reason for Brody Van Wagenen doing whatever the hell he's doing. But everything else is happening because of that. It's just true.
And the Cubs have genuine needs, and we're going to see how willing they are. That's the one team where you might be able to make a case that they do have guys who fit the description that you describe, who, for whatever reason, aren't as good as they were supposed to be, and it may be time to move them because of where they are in their competitive development.
I agree. I'm actually all for that idea. The question I have is, how willing are they to admit some of that stuff? And are they willing to take the loss, you know, on a stock? Where they were like, oh, we'll wait. And then they were hoping that they would either get the player that they want or that player would still have so much value that someone else around the league would be willing to give something up for it. And you look at these guys, and now, like, some of the names that if we talked about these guys a year ago, a year and a half ago, where if you brought up Kyle Schwarber's name, oh, absolutely, absolutely, especially if I'm an American League team, is that still the case? Does he still hold that value? Or have they played so much that every evaluator around baseball is like, We've seen what we've seen, and we know who they are as players now. There's no more mystery.
We actually, if people are paying close attention to Joe Sheehan today, and they always should, bit of a news story, because Joe has always been like the number one Albert Elmora honk out there nationally. That's been his thing. Schwarber's just a guy. Elmora, given enough time, will hit. And he pulled the ripcord on that argument today. He said, you know what, that's not looking like I was right on that. And for this year, to be in at a 71 WRC plus, you know, 30% worse than an average current MLB hitter. He said he didn't see that coming, and he's off that train.
You know who is actually pretty good at this? And it's case by case, but seems to get some of this stuff right. And I think that oftentimes it can be frustrating, is Joe. Joe kind of told us, Elmora is a defensive replacement and a guy that I'm going to platoon against left-handers. And we all kind of went, well, no. What if you gave him 500 at-bats? And Joe's like, no, really. Really what he is a guy that I can use in late inning situations to go catch the ball. And if there's a lefty that he can muscle up on, and the same thing with Javier Baez, where they were like, nah, Javi needs to be down in the minors. And Joe's like, no, he needs to be here. And look at what he's turned into. I wonder how much of what I need versus what you want is going on between the front office and the manager. Like, because he's obviously trying to win this year, and the Cubs have said that they have an urgency to win this year. So then what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to pull the plug on? And what are you willing to say, you know what, we got the evaluation wrong on this guy, and we have a chance to win a division, because Theo doesn't want to be in the coin flip game, and he's 100% right about that, but there's a legitimate chance to win this division. How do you do it with the parts that you have? And I had a conversation with Bruce the other day about Ben Zobrist coming back, and I'm just sitting there going, to do what?
Get on base at a 340 clip.
Yep.
Hopefully. He hasn't played baseball in 4 months.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody really overrate Zobrist, especially based on what we saw this year with no pop in his bat at all.
Yeah. Well,
and that's the thing about this, the rest of this lineup, that bottom third of the bench, is you don't have anybody coming off that bench that's dangerous when you've got everyone else in the lineup. And that's something that actually plays once you get into the playoffs. It plays once you get in the last few weeks of the season and rosters expand. You need somebody to come out and face whatever, you know, left-hander, another team is called up to be their 59th guy. Like, that starts winning games a little bit. This team isn't dangerous off the bench. It's not dangerous in its depth for the first time in a while.
It seems as if we are looking at an extremely top-heavy roster.
Yes.
And definitely a top-heavy lineup with the Cubs. And is that enough?
They've been doing it, too. I mean, you look at, you know, Bryant and Baez, and these guys have been delivering.
The Chris Bryant thing is so interesting to me, because he's legitimately having his best year OPS-wise. And so many people, the fault for him is that he is not Mike Trout.
It's unbelievable.
You, sir, are not Mike Trout.
They're going to end up, you know, when Chris Bryant hits free agency, and let's say he ends up taking whatever deal exists in baseball then.
I'm sure Rick will have something for him.
After your CBA. When he hits free agency, signs somewhere else, Cubs fans are going to recognize pretty quickly, or at least the ones that just could never see the Chris Bryant that actually was.
Yeah, well, they're going to realize playing third base on the south side.
You are going to recognize pretty quick. Well, where do you put Moncada then? You're sliding Moncada out of that third base spot for Chris Bryant?
All right, fine. When he's playing,
outfield.
I can't put him in left, because that's where Eloy is flipping and falling and dripping over himself.
I've got Bryant in an outfield corner for the White Sox.
How about Chris Bryant at first base for you? How's that work for you?
See, that blocks Andrew Vaughn,
okay.
who I assume is going to be Jeff Bagwell.
I'm good with that. I'm good with him blocking that guy.
But you're right. Bryant is the in-town stupid have underrated Chris Bryant.
It's criminal.
He's so great.
I know.
And I know that the runners in scoring position thing is a problem. I get that. And it's frustrating when you see it. But when you look at his numbers and you look up and over the weekend, he's hitting .302. like he's hitting .302. And then I want to say since – the beginning of June, his on base has been like 45% of the time.
Ted Williams stuff.
Yes.
It really is. It's amazing.
And, but still, there are the people like, he stinks.
All right, you got Joe coming up at the top of the hour, just a matter of minutes. What about Bears stuff?
I got a couple Bears things. I thought the Trey Burton stuff that he was saying to Mullin Haw about anxiety was really cool. I want to bring that back to the show. I mean, all right, let me ask you guys before we get Joe on the line. What's your favorite training camp trope?
Oh, it's by far best shape of your life guy.
You like that one?
100%. No points for subtlety. Best shape of your life guy.
Dan, you've seen a lot of it. You've been in those press conferences with many a player that have thrown the cliches, the things that you get, especially now that you're like a week into camp.
Learn the new system.
There it is. Mm. And that's kind of all this stuff is. Like, I was listening to Khalil Mack today, and I was like, okay, yeah. I love listening to him talk, but I don't know how much there is for us to learn.
There is. We know the starters and the backups at every position.
Yeah. I will.